preach this morning on resist the devil, to resist him because he's a liar, right? Man, he is a liar. He's a deceiver. He's a murderer, and he's subtle in what he does. Now look around this congregation tonight, and I want to share with you, if you don't resist the devil, it'll hinder your worship. If you let him have his way in your life very long, it'll hinder your worship in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So tonight, I want to preach for a few moments on hindered worship. I want you to think right now what hinders your worship. When you come in, what hinders your worship? I want you to think about that before we get into the Word tonight. What hinders you from worshiping the Lord? There's things in our life that hinders us from worshiping. You can be at church. You can do all kind of things. You can be tied up in the ministry every which way you want to tie up. You can be teaching. You can be leading. You can be guiding. And still not be worshiping the Lord. You can be working and not worshiping. So tonight I want to look at what hinders our worship tonight. If you have a copy of God's Word, I ask you to turn with me to Psalm chapter number 24 tonight. That's where I want to begin reading in verse number 3 and verse number 4 on what hinders our worship. I know there's numerous things. Psalms chapter number 24, verse 3 and 4. I know there's a lot of things that hinder our worship, but I want to share with you a few tonight in the Word of God that will hinder our worship. Psalm 24, if you got your Bible, say amen. I ask you to stand. Psalm 24 and verse number 3, the Bible says, "Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place?" And he gives you an answer here. "He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who have not lifted his soul up to vanity, nor sworn deceitfully." Father, I love you and I thank you for this night. I thank you for the opportunity to come back to your house tonight and just be able to read and study a portion of your word. Lord, I thank you for Sister Kathy tonight as she stands and said that her pain is gone. Lord, I thank you tonight for your healing touch. I thank you tonight for your touch that you reached down from heaven. Father, I pray tonight that you guard my throat and guard my thoughts. Father, you know the trouble that I have going on there, but you, Father, you are over all trouble tonight. You can take care of anything. Father, there's not nothing that you can't do tonight. Lord, I pray tonight that you move on it in a mighty way. Lord, I pray tonight for the ones that are sick tonight, the ones that need a touch tonight, Father. Lord, I thank you that the building got ordered. Lord God, I thank you for the building committee. I thank you that you've allowed us to get this far in this build. Lord, I praise you for that this afternoon. Father, I pray that tonight, Father, that as we come in, whatever might be in our way to keep you from hindering us from worshiping you, Lord, I pray that we search our hearts tonight. Father, I know tonight I'm talking to the core. I know tonight I'm talking to the church. But Lord God, tonight I do know this, that even the church can get to a place that we have hinder in our worship. Lord, I love you and I thank you. I thank you for Calvary and I thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ. Have your will and way in this service tonight, and I promise you that I'll be careful to give you all the honor, all the praise, and all the glory. I ask it tonight in Jesus' most holy, precious name, and all of God's people said, amen. You may be seated tonight. Tonight as we come in Psalm chapter number 24 in verse 3 and 4, we see the question that's asked, "Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place?" And then he gives a thing here that he says, "He that hath a clean hands and a pure heart, who had not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully." If you look back in chapter number 23, we see in the 23rd Psalm, the Bible says, King David had just said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And then that question's asked. But one chapter over, the psalmist also said, "Who shall ascend unto you and who shall stand?" He knows that there are some things that will hinder our worship. He knows that there are some things that hinders our worship to the Lord. And as I read that in Psalm chapter number 24, and I thought about resisting the devil and getting away from the devil and ascending to the hill of the Lord and getting on that mountaintop. Can I get amen? Have you ever been to the mountaintop? Have you ever been where up there where you think, man, the air is good and everything's good on that mountaintop? Or what causes us to come back down? What causes us to slide back down? What causes us from staying there every day on that high hill? What causes that in our life? Can I say to you tonight, I want to share with you a few things that causes us our hindrance of our worship to the Lord. Number one tonight, and in my own life, I see this in the Bible, doubt or unbelief causes me to to hinder in my worship of the Lord, my unbelief or my doubt. You say, preacher, do you have doubt in your life? Man, I have doubt all the time. There's things that come my way that I can't see an answer, or I can't see it took care of, and God has to remind me that He is on the throne. You say, is it wrong for a child of God to doubt? Can I say to you that if you're a child of God and you've not doubted, something's wrong with you tonight? Can I get an amen? Hey, John the Baptist, the greatest that ever had lived, the Bible said, born of a woman, said that he doubted. He sent his two disciples and he said, you go and you ask Jesus, is he who we should look for, or should we look for somebody else? And he said, you go tell John what you have seen. And tonight, can I say that doubt and unbelief, it hinders our worship. Turn with me, if you will, to Mark chapter number 6 tonight. I want to show you this in the Word of God. Mark chapter number 6 tonight, talking about the hindering of the worship of the Lord tonight. I want to show you this in the Bible. Our doubt or our unbelief, it'll hinder our worship to the Lord God Almighty. Mark chapter number 6 and verse number 5, you know that Jesus, he has just came in here and he wanted to do some mighty works. He wanted to do some works that would help people. And tonight in Mark chapter number 6 and verse number 5, we see the doubt and the unbelief. In verse number 5, he said, and he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few folks, sick folk, and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief, and he went around about the villages teaching. Here, when he comes in the text, what hindered him from doing a mighty work was their unbelief in what God could do. You know what, tonight, when you believe that God can, Sister Kathy, and you believe that God will, it releases in our life, it releases His power, it releases His authority on our life when we give over to Him and we say, God, I no longer do I have unbelief, but I believe that You can. I see tonight that the unbelief or the doubt here in the text of these individuals, it stopped God from doing what He could have done. You say, preacher, He said that He healed a few sick folk. Yeah, but that's all He done at that time and at that place. He could have done so much more. He could have done greater miracles. And tonight in this place, if when He heals some sick folk, we think has been a mighty thing done. But He says here He could do no mighty works. For instance, how can I say to you, this church, we've not seen the full hand of God. We've not seen His hand completely laid down and His work be done in this place. You say, preacher, what do you mean when God shows up and He puts His hand on a place? I'm telling you, there's some mighty works that'll come forth. Amen. I see tonight that doubt or unbelief tonight hinders our worship. But let me move on here as we're in the New Testament. Look with me in Luke chapter number 9 and verse number 23. I see not only doubt and unbelief hinders our worship tonight, and we must resist the devil or he'll make us have doubt tonight, but rebellion and wanting our own will hinders worship tonight. Rebellion or wanting our own will hinders worship tonight. To rebel or not do what God has called us to do. In Luke chapter number 9 and verse number 23, here he came and he's talking about following him and doing what he wants us to do. You look with me tonight in Luke chapter number 9 and verse number 23, the Bible said, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. You say, preacher, how should I worship God? We must worship Him daily in our life. Amen. It shouldn't be just a Sunday worship. It shouldn't be a Sunday night worship. And it shouldn't be just a Wednesday worship. But every day of our life, we ought to worship the creator of the universe, the creator of mankind. You say, preacher, how should I? I want to say to you tonight, doubt and unbelief and rebellion will hinder our worship. I want to go on tonight and give you this tonight, that when rebellion comes and our own will tonight, I see that daily, when we daily deny ourselves, we daily deny ourselves, and we must get to the place that we let God be on the throne and do what He wants to do in our life. We see that when we daily deny ourselves, and we daily tote the cross. Do you know tonight that when you get to that place in your life and you're worshiping God, you don't tote the cross when you want to, but you tote the cross daily. You daily tote that cross. You daily get under that burden. You daily get under what God would have you to do. And tonight I see that I daily deny myself. I daily tote the cross. And I daily follow Christ Jesus. Now, not to have hinder in our worship, number one, we must not doubt and we must not rebel. Tonight, can I say to you that it is the hardest thing to do is not to rebel. Amen? The hardest thing to do is not to rebel. But I'm going to go to something tonight that I believe that the psalmist was talking about. Not only is it doubt, not only is it rebellion, but I believe this here also hinders our worship. It is being fatigued are wore out in the ministry. A lot of folks are serving in the ministry because this is what they do. They're wore out, they're tired, and they're out. I used to think that I wouldn't get out, I'd rather burn out. I'd rather burn out than get out. If you burn out, you're out. You can still have the position, still have the role, still do and teach every day, preach every day, sing every day, do what you're supposed to do and not do it in the power and the might of Almighty God. And you're not truly worshiping Him and who He really is. Tonight you say, preacher, do you believe that? Turn with me, if you will, to Galatians chapter number 6 and verse number 9 tonight. In Galatians chapter number 6 and verse number 9, let me show you this in the Bible. Paul told the church at Galatia, he said, I want you to know something that you need to be careful tonight about burning out or getting wore out in the ministry. I see tonight what hinders worship is doubt and unbelief, rebellion, our own will, and just being wore out from the battle. Tonight I want to show you this in Galatians chapter number 6 and verse number 9 about being fatigued or wore out. Can I say to you tonight, this is off key, but I want to give this to you. If you got a position in this church, you fulfill your position and don't put it off on somebody else. Because when you're not doing what you're supposed to do and I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do, I put that load on somebody else and they may already be loaded to the gills. Fatigue or wore out. Galatians 6, 9, the Bible says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So tonight I see that when I get fatigued or wore out, it's so easy to get wore out from the work. And when this happens, we will not truly worship the Lord when we get wore out. I see tonight doubt, unbelief, rebellion, fatigue, all these hinder our worship to Almighty God. But let me give you something else tonight. Not only that fatigue when it gets in your life. When you get to the place when you're not believing like you should believe, you're not doing what you're supposed to do, and you get wore out, unconfessed sin will come in your life. You say, preacher, how do you know that? I know that. Unconfessed sin hinders worship. Unconfessed sin hinders worship inside a local assembly like this. You say, how do you know that? Unconfessed sin. Psalm 66, 18, the Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. If I regard that iniquity in my heart, but I know to confess my sin and I don't do it, it holds that back. It holds back the blessings of God. It holds back what He wants to send our way. And tonight, can I say to you, Satan is good at not wanting us to confess our sin. He wants us to hide it tonight. I see that unconfessed sin. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. 1 John 1, 9, the Bible says, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. To cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you're walking around tonight, you feel dirty, you feel all that, you know what tonight? If you'll confess your sin, He'll forgive you. He'll forgive you. Tonight, a lot of folks, the only time they've confessed their sins is at the time of salvation. They confessed as a sinner, as Jesus come into their life, and they've been walking. You say, preacher, what must I do? It's a daily toting the cross. It's a daily confession. It's daily following Jesus Christ. It's a daily walk, a daily commitment in what God has called us to do. It's just like being married to a spouse. It's a daily commitment. It's daily. And you must be ready for that commitment when you make it to Christ. We've made salvation easy on our end. God took the price at Calvary, but we have watered it down and dumbed it down so much. We've made it that easy. Hey, you want to be saved? Just come on, just follow Jesus. We don't even tell them the cause. We don't even tell them what it's going to concern in their life, how they've got to follow Jesus Christ, how they got to tote the cross, how they got to live it, how they got to be what God's called them to be. All we tell them, all they got to do is come to an altar, ask Jesus in their life, get up, walk back out, live any way you want to, do what you want to do, and there's nothing on you. Live free. That's wrong. It costs you to follow Christ. It costs you to tote your cross. And that's what's hindered worship in local body churches, is people just do what they want to do, go where they want to do, act like they want to act, and do whatever, and everything's good. Folks, that's not the God I met. Listen, that's not the God I met. That's not the God I met. The God I met says He wants to be worshipped every day of my life. Every day of my life, He wants my worship. He wants my all every day. He wants me to praise Him every single day. He said, preacher, what happens when you don't? I'm having to check myself to make sure unbelief ain't creeped in. That unbelief ain't creeped in. This morning when we laid hands on you, sister, as a body of Christ, I want you to know not everybody that was in this place believes in healing. Not everybody believes in the healing power of Jesus Christ. You be careful who you call on to pray on you. Folks, tonight I'm telling you, and you get there, that unbelief, and then that rebellion, their own will. You don't believe that tonight? Look at that. Look how empty the building is tonight. That rebellion, that unbelief. I'm telling you tonight, folks, I'm pouring my heart to you. That rebellion, that unbelief, I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to do it when it's convenient. I'm going to do it when it feels good. I'm going to do it. Folks, tonight, God has called us to something higher than ourselves. I see the unbelief. I see the rebellion that goes on. Man, it's on every corner. People rebel. But I don't only see that. But I see where we get to that place in our life where it's unconfessed sin. And we walk around and we tote that. And you say, preacher, what shows up next? If you want to know what shows up next, it'll be our attitude. This morning, I want to congratulate this church. When Brother TJ come from the back and come up, and he come to this altar, man, everybody at the church loved on it. The Lord used it this morning, let me say that. Folks, this place is for people that's not got it all together. Can I say there ain't nobody in this room got it together? There ain't nobody in this room got it together. And he's my neighbor. And I mentioned this in Sunday school this morning. You don't choose what door you knock on. Who do you invite to come to church? You knock on the door, you invite them to come, and when they come, you love on them. You tell them the truth, but you love on them. And I'm going to ask you tonight that you remember that man in prayer. Man, that touched my heart this morning. He's got a lot going on, and you remember him. But tonight, let me give you this. Something else that hinders worship is our attitudes. Man, our attitude hinders worship in a mighty way. Let me show you this in the Bible tonight. Man, it gets on my heart tonight. Really, really stirs me tonight to know this. Our attitude tonight, the wrong attitude tonight, hinders worship. You say, what kind of attitude is that, preacher? Bitterness hinders worship. Can I say to you tonight, jealousy hinders worship. And can I say to you, anger hinders worship. Turn with me to Hebrews, Brother Les, chapter number 12 and verse number 15. I won't never forget that. He said the other night, Hebrews. Hebrews chapter number 12 and verse number 15. You know it takes a lot to follow Christ, don't it? And not to get hindered or slipped up or turned. It takes a lot. It does. But the wrong attitude, unconfessed sin and wrong attitude, that bitterness, that jealousy and that anger. Look what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter number 12 and verse 15. He says, looking diligently. He said, I want you to look diligently. I want you to be watching. Lest any man fail of the grace of God. If any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up and trouble you, and thereby many be defiled or erred or went the wrong way. Why? Because of that attitude that we have. I see tonight that unconfessed sin and that wrong attitude hinders our worship in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It hinders our worship. But tonight, to bring all this back, tonight, you get away from Satan. You resist him. Tonight, you stand him. You stand against him. Our last point is this, and I want to give it to you. What hinders our worship to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? It's our adversary, Satan. He hinders it more than anything tonight. You ever decided you was going to do something for Christ and didn't fulfill it? Oh, me. Why? He'll send something that way. He'll send something your way to stop what you want to do for Christ. He'll send something your way. He'll send something to hinder, something to stop it up. Look with me in James chapter number 4 and verse number 7 tonight. I want to show you this in the Word of God. We're here this morning. James chapter number 4 and verse number 7. I see tonight he says, submit yourselves therefore to God. When you get under that spout and you get under that worship of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and you start praising Him, He says, submit yourself to be under submission. You're not committed. If you're committed to something, you'll stop doing it. Being committed is not enough. Submitted means this. It means you've bowed down. You're under that individual's control. He says, submit thyself to God. Get under His control. Submit yourself to God. And look at this. He says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So tonight, if you want your worship, and I want my worship to God not to be hindered tonight. Here's what I want to do. I want to quit getting to the place that I have unbelief. I don't want to be rebellious. I don't want to be wore out. I want to confess the sin that's in my life. I want to do that. I told them in Sunday school this morning, there's times I get in a pity party. Nobody here does that, I know. But I like them. I really do. I like getting in them sometime. Brandy will come home, and I really like just laying it out there. And sometimes she'll come in, and she'll listen for a little while, Brother Jim. She'll listen for a little while. A couple days, never a couple days. She'll listen for a little while. But most of the times, here's what she'll say. She said, you're trying to pick a fight with the wrong person. I ain't listening to it. And she'll cut on praise and worship music. And I'll get so fighting mad, Brother Jim, because I want to tell her what I got going. I'm wanting to complain. I'm wanting to rebel. I'm wanting to do these things and just pour out to her. And she said, I ain't listening to it. And she'll turn that on, and it won't be long. I know that when I keep listening to that, and I start worshiping Jesus, worshiping God, that stuff has to flee. It can't stay in the presence of Almighty God. So tonight, you say, I want to be right more in the presence of God. I know when you're saved, you're saved. But listen to this tonight. So how can I? How can I get to that place? The Bible tells you very simply not to let it hinder your worship. Psalm 24:4, the Bible says, those who have clean hands and a pure heart. Pure heart. Who's not lifted up his soul into vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, truly we will be able to enter into the worship of the Lord. Before we get circled up tonight, I want to give you this. A while ago, I seen Charles and Nicole, they went out, and his dad's not doing very well at all. So what we're going to do is, and I don't know, anybody heard of, anybody know what's... But we're going to gather around this place, and we're going to pray for that.